Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 10:45 British Summer Time. Today is October 15th and I apologise for the late recording, but I've had some technical difficulties which I've just ironed out. Today was a relatively positive day on stock markets. We saw that in Asia, the ASX was relatively unchanged. The Hang Seng was also relatively unchanged, but it's held on to the majority of those gains it put in last week. But the Indonesian market is pushing on, pressuring at least its all-time highs. The Malaysian market remains very steady and in the region of its all-time highs. And the Filipino market also remains firm. The Korean market is a laggard in the region and remains quite weak, but becoming increasingly oversold. And the Singapore market, having pulled back rather sharply last week, was quite steady in here. And the financials continue to lead to the upside, and they also have been considerably less volatile over the last couple of weeks. In Europe today, the majority of markets were in positive territory, and there's quite a number of them posted upside key reversals on Thursday, and while they didn't follow through on Friday, they followed through today, and that's really quite positive positive action. Given the fact that we'd been looking at the possibility that we were going to have a somewhat larger reaction and possibly a break in the progression of higher reaction lows, we haven't quite had that. And the majority of these markets have held within their one-month ranges. And with a bit of follow-through today, that's really quite positive action. Wall Street was also firm in here today, was up by 0.8%, 11.5 points on the S&P, 0.2% on the NASDAQ composite, and that's also really quite positive action. There were a number of people looking at the one-month range on the S&P over the last couple of weeks, and it broke down from that on Friday. It pushed back up into the range today. And that's really quite positive action. The fact that the banking sector is leading higher in Europe is also a net positive. And the FTSE banks broke upwards out of their one-month range today, and they're pressuring last year's highs. And that's rather impressive, particularly in view of the LIBOR scandal and the various problems that UK banks have had over the last few months. The fact that the sector is moving higher is also really notable. And when we throw the net a bit wider, the South African market is pressuring its highs, the Mexican market is pressuring its highs, and the Brazilian market is pushing back up towards the 60,000 level, having found support in the last week. So, whereas there remains an extremely high degree of uncertainty with regard to stock markets, we are seeing some positive action here. And it's been an uncertain month for the majority, but by and large, we've seen nothing more than a consolidation and an unwind of an overbought condition in the short term and a bit of a reversion towards the mean for a number of markets. Now, the precious metals remain quite weak, and gold was down today by approximately $17. It's at $1,736.90. Silver was down by 92 cents. Platinum was down by $27. And palladium was down by $6. Now, the precious metals have been mostly range-bound and have been weak over the last 10 days. They've unwound at least part of their overbought condition. Gold has reverted towards the mean somewhat. They had paused in the region of the first area of potential resistance, which was the highs for this year and for last year. For the last 6 months for silver and for platinum, and for gold it was about the last 9 months. $1,800 in gold was the area of resistance. Period of consolidation was likely. We've had that, and we're now back to a potential accumulation zone for the precious metals. They've unwound their overbought bought conditions. They're coming back into the region of their 200-day moving averages and the upper side of underlying trading ranges. And this is the type of area that people will start to become interested once more in all likelihood. And if that is the case, then $1,800 is unlikely to offer very much resistance the next time around. And that would suggest that the highs near $1,911 could easily be taken out if we see the $1,800 region penetrated on a sustained basis. And that would be very positive indeed. It would represent potentially a fourth consecutive year where gold has made a new all-time high. And this is for already a market that has put in a positive performance on each of the last, I think, 11 to 12 years. Oil remains uncomfortably strong, and it was relatively unchanged, or it's probably already ticked over, but it's at 91.85 on West Texas Intermediate and about $115 on Brent crude. And certainly the oil market is responding to the risks in Iran and in Syria, but also from speculators that are looking on oil as an additional hedge against the debasement of fiat currencies. And in that regard, that is, in my view at least, a rather risky proposition, because gold has a supply deficit type argument to support it, whereas there isn't really any supply problem with oil, and rather that it is a political problem. So that makes gold a much better hedge against the debasement of fiat currency rather than oil. Natural gas got as high as $3.60 in here today and is currently at $3.48. And natural gas has been really quite firm of late, and is probably due a little bit of a consolidation. And when we take a step back and we look at the global economy, that report I posted today from Deutsche Bank is particularly interesting because it highlights the amount of energy or of electricity generation capacity that needs to get built out in a number of Asian countries to satisfy the demand that is being created as a result of economic growth and urbanization. And given the fact that those countries have strong governance and that they want to promote economic growth and to try and raise the standard of living for the majority of their citizens, then there is a strong likelihood that that energy capacity or electricity capacity is going to get built. And it's important because over the last decade, it's been China's commodity demand growth has been the absolute number one story. But China's economy is evolving, and they've built all the infrastructure they needed to promote economic growth. And in the last few years, they crossed a Rubicon in that regard because they gain more economic growth now from developing their human capital. But a number of other countries in the region are in the opposite scenario. They will benefit more from increasing their infrastructure spend, and particularly India, but also Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, and I suppose countries that no one has ever really thought about, which are Sri Lanka and Myanmar, and they're only just getting out of the starting blocks in terms of their economic development. And the Middle East, and Africa, and South Africa, and Latin America. So the need for infrastructure is truly global, and whereas China has been the demand growth driver, its absolute demand is unlikely to contract. Rather, that its demand growth is likely to moderate. Whereas commodity demand growth in a number of other countries is beginning to ramp up. So while we've been in a soft period for commodities, there is the potential that there are going to be additional commodity demand growth drivers evolving elsewhere globally. And it is likely to become a truly global story. And commodity bull markets don't generally end because the demand disappears, but rather that the supply comes on board to overwhelm that demand. And all of the major mining companies have significant expansion projects on, or at least planned projects. And the longevity of the commodity bull market is likely to hinge on the success of these companies in bringing large amounts of new supply to market. And since that will take a number of years, there is the potential that the commodities which have been beaten down most, which are the industrial metals, represent value at this stage. And particularly when you see that companies like Honeywell are breaking out of 12-year bases, and GE is moving to a position of outperformance, and we're seeing the industrial complex pick up, and the relative strength of miners like BHP Billiton or the BlackRock World Mining Trust, and that's really a positive. And if China, whose market is now testing the progression of lower rally highs, and if it can break that progression, then the chances are we could see a 300 to 400 point rally on the A-share market, and then it would be challenging the medium-term progression of lower rally highs. And that would be another significant hurdle. But in the short term, we're at a very interesting level, because if it can rally significantly from here, it will unleash a round of short covering, and the market could go significantly higher. So it's at an important level, and we're likely to find out just which way this market is going to go in the next couple of weeks. And when we look at Europe, there is the potential that it is going to outperform. And it can be characterized very simply that there's a European summit this week, and we're likely to get some form of resolution as to, or at least some clarity on exactly how the fiscal union and banking unions are going to look. Whereas with the USA, we're not likely to have any degree of clarity for another month until we get the result of the election. And given the fact that the European markets had those upside Q reversals on Thursday, an additional follow-through in here today, and have been that bit steadier, perhaps we're going to see those European markets outperform over the last quarter of this year. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.